Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we're closing out our wedding season double feature that we're calling Something Borrowed, Something Boo. Last week we were talking about Gene Wilder's The Haunted Honeymoon, and this week we're talking about Neil Jordan's High Spirits.
I had never heard of this movie. This was never on my radar. This isn't something I grew up with.
Yeah.
So we watched a trailer for it that you had found for a watch party, was it?
Probably.
Or something. We were watching a movie. John may have made a pre-show, and we were like, what the fuck is this movie? We have to watch
it. This looks like so much fun. So coherent a story. This is a fun episode because we know nothing about this movie. We have no answers, only questions. And we should get Neil Jordan on the phone.
This movie was a surprise.
We should... Okay, anybody out there listening right now? I'm just going to say this. Like, having edited the podcast before, I know there's a couple things we say over and over. It's just who we are as people. You should have a drinking game for this episode. Anytime we say, this movie, take a shot. I guarantee you don't make it to the end.
Have we said the title yet of this movie?
We're talking about High Spirits. We mentioned already. Okay. Neil Jordan's High Spirits.
From 1988.
Name above the title. Okay, now we've got a lot of things to say about this movie, but like in a nutshell, it's about an old castle that's been turned into a hotel that is about to be foreclosed on because they can't pay their bills. So in a last desperate attempt to stay in business and in the black, they pretend the castle is haunted to get new tourists to come and to put some cash back in the bank accounts. And then surprise, surprise, it's actually haunted.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's the core. This movie's crazy.
That is the layer one.
Yeah, there's a lot else going on, which I think will definitely bring us into three good things about this movie. You've probably never heard of it. We've never heard of it. That's what it's about. And here are three reasons why you absolutely should check it out before we start talking about how many choices there are in this movie. Good thing number one.
Okay, so I'm going to go with some ghostly hijinks at first. I'm going to open it up with just a real fun circumstance.
Okay.
And this is non-ghosty-ghosty hijinks, which we'll get into.
Sounds incredibly specific.
The suit of armor stuff. Every haunted
Gotta
castle, every haunted hotel, yep. Every haunted old building needs a haunted suit of armor.
And mandatory.
This one wears roller skates.
It's an easy way to get around if you're a ghost. It gives you that ghostly glide.
Yeah, and this is during the period where they're faking the haunting. Yeah. So we find out that it's a little old lady inside the suit of armor, and that's why it's been skating around with no head.
Good thing number two, this movie, especially for 1998.
This
1988.
Movie.
The problem, now I won't be able to say it. High Spirits, especially for 1988, has some incredible ghost special effects. Like, really good stuff.
If you like Ghost Wind, this is going to be your favorite movie.
You like Ghost Wind? You like people touching ghosts and their hands going through them?
Oh, we will talk about that.
It's that stuff moving. Like, there's a lot of early computer-generated imagery in the movie. Special effects, bricks moving. And it's really top-notch for 1988.
The hijinks are all fucking spot on.
And hopefully this isn't a forecast for good thing number three, but if this movie wasn't so horny, it would have a ride at Universal Studios.
If it wasn't so horny.
If it wasn't so horny.
Well, what am I going to do for good thing three now? I feel like I have to remark on its horniness.
Sure.
There's some huge actors in this. It's crazy that we haven't heard of it.
I guarantee this was a completely different tone until they hired Jennifer Tilly, and they were like, well, now
it's a sex comedy.
Yeah. She's barely in the movie, but she's the cornerstone of the tone.
Oh boy. Can I pick another ghost thing, or is that
sure,
too many,
go for
too
it.
Many good ghost things?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with the haunted theater sequence. There's
good
a little
God, so good.
There's a little like old-timey stage play in the main bar, which is like a tiki bar, an Irish tiki bar,
yeah,
which I fucking love. But there's one of those classical theater, the 2D ocean with the mermaid and the boat, and it's all like boards that you move. It animates because it's haunted, mm-hmm, and it retains its 2D nature when you're looking at it. But as soon as the ghosties leave the stage, they become real life things. So there's a huge whale tail. There's a squid that kidnaps a little boy.
Everybody in this movie says it's a squid. It's clearly an octopus.
Oh, John, some of us aren't octopus obsessed like you are.
Octopus and squid look completely different. That's like looking at a cat and going like, what a cute dog.
Yeah, but normally it's an evil squid that attacks boats. Like it's a giant squid.
Yeah, except in this.
You don't see the top of its head.
You see its fucking eyes.
Do they have different eyes?
Yeah, they have completely different head shapes. Yeah, they are completely different animals. Okay, I get it. It's got tentacles and we're scared of it. It's just call it a sea monster and be done with
okay,
it.
Okay, well, it tries to eat a little boy and it's a great fucking sequence. They
okay,
play with 2D. They dump water on the actors. It's wonderful.
I don't know how much we're going to revisit this again later in the episode, so we might as well explain now that, yes, they all look like they're cardboard cutouts or made from Bristol board or something. But yes, when they grab people, they become alive. So a real tentacle comes out and grabs a real boy. And then as he's lifted back onto the stage, he becomes a cardboard cutout of that same little boy. It is genius.
Marvelous. Marvelous.
Hands down, the best sequence. One of the best sequences of the movie.
It's fantastic.
Did we mention the cast at all?
I said there was a lot of people in it, but I didn't say whom.
So many people that you would never associate with a horny sex comedy. We've got Peter O'Toole, like Academy Award winning Peter O'Toole. We've got Beverly D'Angelo, who's always great, giving it her all in this movie. Jennifer Tilly. Peter Gallagher, who you definitely don't recognize that name, but he's in the House of Haunted Hill remake, so he's obviously an all-star.
And he's got all of the eyebrows you've ever seen.
Steve Guttenberg, who we're still trying to figure out made it anywhere beyond his couch. Like, I don't understand how he got famous. It doesn't make sense to me. That Simpsons joke year over year gets funnier and funnier, where the stonecutters are saying that they're the people who made Steve Guttenberg in business. We've also got Daryl Hannah and Liam Neeson.
Yeah, a really hunky, murderous Liam Neeson.
Probably the horniest ghost in the entire movie.
So horny.
Yeah, you want to see a young Liam Neeson try and get it on with living ladies.
Get it on with living ladies. I really like that combination.
I don't know
of
why
words.
It came out like that. There's the ghosts have their
living
own
ladies.
Word for having sex.
Oh
with
God!
The living.
I thought we were gonna like save this until deeper in the episode because it's the crux of my review.
All right, we're shouting. We gotta take it down a notch.
Oh God!
I'm gonna toss to the trailer, and when we get back, we're gonna explain what scalping is.
Oh God! I just don't understand.
These brave Americans have traveled all the way to Europe to visit a genuine haunted castle.
Castle Plunkett! We can promise you ghouls of all descriptions!
There are no blooming ghosts here!
But there will be! We'll invent them!
Their host doesn't want them disappointed.
This is the most pitiful supernatural sham that I've ever encountered!
We'll get better, I assure you!
But when you fake a haunting, the real ghosts get mad.
They're going to give those Americans exactly what they came here for.
What is going on here?
Now they're out of the closet.
You're real. You're a real ghost.
Love is in the air. And Jack's just dreamy enough to imagine life with a ghost.
Jack, is that you? There's a man in my bathtub!
That's Martin!
Who's Martin?
He's a ghost. Jack. He murders his wife every night. Other than that, I think he's pretty harmless.
Daryl Hannah.
If you loved me, the miracle could happen.
Peter O'Toole.
Sorry, Peter.
Beverly D'Angelo.
You threw me over this? I mean, I knew you liked passive women, Jack, but she's hacked in it. I hope she has a great personality because this hurts.
Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, I know looks aren't everything. I'm
in here, Jack.
It's just that they can help so much when you're...
There's nothing like a vacation to give your spirits a lift. High spirits.
High Spirits is currently sitting at a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, this time I'll say earned, and a 2.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
What is it about, you know, when movies go into haunted houses that, like, the plots themselves become haunted? There's not a single successful haunted house movie that story makes sense. It's like we get in there and it's just ideas. It's just every single idea, we're doing it.
You mean when there's more than like two people? Because like The Changeling's got a pretty good, straightforward... I was going to say, what are you talking about? House on Haunted Hill, 13 Ghosts. The answer is no. Like those movies are absolutely crazy. They hold a special place in
That's
my heart.
That's what I'm saying. But... It's just insanity.
Yeah.
The Changeling doesn't count because it's not a haunted castle hijinks movie.
Fuck it, he rents an entire estate. It's practically...
Yeah, but it's to play piano. It's not for a family affair.
He's not going there to fuck. You're right, though. All of these movies, maybe it's just the kind of people we are and the movies we're attracted to, but so many of these look like you could just slap National Lampoon's ahead of the title and you'd believe it every
and
time.
And not just because Beverly D'Angelo's in it.
That's... Okay, well, yeah, that works, too. Maybe yeah, that's why that came to mind.
It's just their fucking insanity. I don't think I've ever seen a fully successful one, but I will continue to watch every single one I discover.
Oh, I had a blast watching this dumb movie.
I was just enthralled.
Do you happen to know at all who Neil Jordan is, the director of this movie?
No, I was looking up the Wikipedia before we started
recording. So the
recording,
answer is yes, you know.
But it said Oscar winner, and I was like, what? And then I didn't look any further into it.
Yeah, he won an Academy Award for the screenplay for The Crying Game.
What's that about?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
According to Letterboxd, it's about an Irish Republican army member who forms an unexpected bond with a kidnapped British soldier. This does not sound like a kind of movie we would watch.
No, it looks
like
there's a reason why we don't know what it is.
It looks like it's about the IRA. No, he also directed in The Company of Wolves. You see that werewolf movie, that period piece werewolf movie? It's a little bit like an anthology. Mm. More importantly, you definitely recognize Greta from a couple years ago, or Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he directed an Interview with the Vampire.
Okay. I did see Byzantium, which is like a vampire movie that I always end up recommending on the blog because it's
You
like,
recommend that movie all the time?
Yeah, because I write about horny female vampires.
Oh, well, then we're basically in your wheelhouse here. Take it away, Kim.
We should, before we talk about the weird ghost sex in this movie, we should walk our way in the plot a little bit because
Okay. This
movie's a little underwatched. I'm going to assume a few of our listeners didn't watch it and are like, what the fuck are they talking about? Mm-hmm. Ghost sex. Let's get our way there. Let's try to get to how ghosts fuck.
Okay, so Peter O'Toole is playing Peter Plunkett. Who's a descendant
Hotelier.
Of the Plunkett.
I don't know what you...
Well, I think he's just the last surviving member of the Plunkett family.
Well, his grandma's still alive. Or okay. His mom.
Maybe not surviving. the last thriving.
Well, he does try to commit suicide several times, so maybe thriving.
Yeah, he wears a lot of wool sweaters, he drinks a lot of Jameson, and he's about to hang himself after getting off the phone with the bank until he has a brilliant idea because his mom's kooky, and she talks about how there's so many ghosts living in our castle, and he doesn't believe her, obviously.
That was a great kooky grandma voice.
Thank you. And he uses that as inspiration to essentially do some dark tourism, and like overnight they come up with a quick little concept.
This should have been a good thing for me. Fucking sold. Even if it's fake ghosts, you tell me you're faking ghosts. If I stay at your hotel, I'm there. You tell me you have real ghosts, I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
None of these would disappoint me.
Here's the thing. They always say they're real ghosts. Most of the time, they're fake. They're usually in your imagination. It's just that we're getting to a point now where you can say somebody died in every building that's ever existed. So we buy it. Of course there's ghosts.
Is that because our engineering is getting better and buildings are lasting longer?
No, I'm just saying we've been around long enough that... Like, so, okay, so in North America, Canada and the United States.
Because we're on, like, year 278 or whatever.
Yeah, like, every ghost is from, like, the 1700s or the 1800s, but you go to England. In fact, I think Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson were on the podcast talking about Something in the Dirt, talking about how weird it is that North America is obsessed with ghosts, because, like, you go to Britain, and it's just like, yeah, somebody died in every square inch of this place. What are you talking about? We've been around for centuries.
And a lot of their ghosts are just, like, wailing women from the bog.
Yeah, from the bog.
And ours are, like, pilgrims who died in barrels.
Anyway, so the Plunkett Castle is in disrepair. It is about to be foreclosed on by an unscrupulous... I don't understand how they don't own the land.
He's an American financier. I think they were going under and he got a bad loan.
Ah,
yeah,
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they make the hotel haunted very quickly.
It seems like
it's a turnover of a day.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you're a banshee, you're a mummy, you're a suit of armor, and we have just bust in 13 American tourists.
And they figure it, they do a lot of great work. They figure out how to do like that haunted mansion move where you've got the ghosts doing the masquerade ball, but it's all done with mirrors and light. They've got somebody pretending to be a mummy on the turret of an adjacent room and the shadow of it is being played out in your bedroom. It looks awesome.
Yeah, no, there are some wonderful gags. The banshee stuff is a little hokey, but...
The banshee's great.
They're going for it.
If I was in my bedroom at night and I just saw the girl who took my bags to the room
on
also...
a zipline?
Yeah. Fly back on. I'd be like, 10 out of 10.
I would tip so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm writing a great review.
I hate tipping, but I would tip for that.
And then, yeah, like, it seems as though just the simple idea of having ghosts attracts people within a fortnight. Not even that. It's just like 48 hours. The hotel's booked up.
Yeah. So we have a parapsychologist and his wife and kids.
Mm-hmm. Played by the guy who gets eaten off the toilet in Jurassic Park.
Thank you for that. who's trying to debunk ghosts or prove ghosts, or he's trying to do some science. Then there is Jennifer Tilly, who booked it for her Satanist boyfriend who left her right before. There's a priest who's about to do his vowy things. So he's not yet a priest.
And Jennifer Tilly has set her sights
on him.
She is
all
over
that. And then we have Beverly D'Angelo and Steve Guttenberg, who are a married couple who don't love each other.
They're there on their second honeymoon.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Okay. And is that it? Is there anybody else? Living, I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's about
it. Is that everybody?
That's everybody. We find out later on that Beverly D'Angelo is, like, after the first night when the ghosty hijinks goes wrong, they try and spook everybody. There's a great sequence where Jennifer Tilly's bed starts levitating and rotating around the room and stuff. That's awesome.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Especially because it gets pulled up to basically the ceiling. The rope breaks. She hits the floor. They go careening down like three stories into the foyer of the fucking hotel where everybody's been sort of chased out of their rooms. Everybody's upset by it. The jig is up. They know what Plunkett is up to. And, you know, it also looks like he's about to face financial ruin. While he's complaining about it and name drops their financier who's going to close on the castle. That's a terrible Irish accent.
I thought you were doing like a British actor.
Well, yeah, which is what Peter O'Toole was. And Steve Guttenberg realizes that the person who actually owns the hotel is his father-in-law, Beverly D'Angelo's father.
Gasp.
And so this wasn't actually a second honeymoon after all. It was always business. So she's just here trying to scout out for her dad whether there's any sort of
credence to this ghost thing.
Yeah,
if they're going to survive.
Yeah.
If it's a lucrative idea.
Because obviously they want to foreclose on the place so they can move the castle to Malibu? That was a throwaway bit of information that made zero sense.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like that's not good business.
No, I feel like it would be easier to just build by hand a new castle in Malibu. Maybe her dad's hella goth, though. her dad's Dracula, and Dracula's beaching out in Malibu.
Even Dracula didn't move his stones. He just took some dirt with him.
He's like, can you imagine moving this whole thing? It's impossible.
I just got 14 crates of dirt and I'm good.
Yeah, I've got the fortunes of centuries. I couldn't afford this. I feel like we've talked about so much of the movie, we haven't even gotten to what the movie's about.
Yeah, so how do the real ghosts come out?
The real ghosts come out because Steve Guttenberg goes on a huge bender with Peter Plunkett, played by Peter O'Toole. I don't know anybody's real names in this movie.
I wrote them down.
I'm not looking at that.
Steve Guttenberg is Jack.
Okay, Jack goes on a bender with Peter, actual name of the character in the movie, and he pulls out... Oh,
do you think it's the liquor? I don't...
So here's the fucking thing about this movie. Peter O'Toole gives Steve Guttenberg this really old, crazy-aged bottle of homemade gin, I guess, that his great-great-grandfather has made, or his father, or somebody. It's the oldest bottle of liquor in the castle, and then once Steve Guttenberg drinks it, he can start seeing ghosts.
Okay, so you said this while we were watching. You were like, oh, that's why it's called high spirits. And I was like,
He's got to like get a stereotypically Irish drunk in order to see the Irish ghost.
But everybody sees the ghost. The thing is I think because he gets so hammered, he stumbles to like the west wing of the castle.
You think he just goes to the wrong room?
Yes. And it's like super haunted and spooky. It's not refurbished. There's moth-eaten curtains. There's tons of spider webs. There's bricked up hallways. And then he stumbles upon this long time ago murder that's on this weird time loop. And then it kind of awakens all the other ghosts.
What a sad time loop.
And also, too, we find out that mom, Peter O'Toole's mom, has been talking to her husband this whole time, who is a ghost. And he finds out about what Peter's been doing and is not very happy. So I think he might rally the ghosts to do real hauntings.
Well, that's absolutely what happens.
For money.
Yeah. So Peter O'Toole's mother, her husband is dead. And
they have tea a lot.
They have tea a lot. And he's just like, you know, our son is really being an ass. he's really kicked it this time. Maybe I stir up some of the old family members. Like, it's essentially like his family that's haunting the place, right? Because they're all buried in the walls and shit. There's an
marvelous,
incredible sequence where Peter O'Toole is giving a speech about how we're going to survive and we can't possibly let this happen and blah, blah, blah. And behind him, all of the stones are coming out of the wall and they're whizzing past him and they're going out into the audience of everybody who's listening to him talk, and it reveals the family
crypts
and all of these fucking decrepit old ghosty people come crawling back out and shit. It is so good.
Yeah. Ghost ancestor party.
Yeah.
Loved it.
There's a whole sequence with weird nuns. There's like nun
ghosts.
Yeah,
what are the nuns from?
I don't know. They look like those weird black evil things that show up in the Patrick Swayze ghost movie.
They had the potential to be very, very scary.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they were not. But the concept of them is very, very scary.
I would have loved for them to be scary. I wanted more of those nuns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But either way, the ghosts are awoken, and they are horny.
Very horny. So Daryl Hannah is, oof, so here's, I'm going to roll past a big question that I have, and we'll get to it later.
I'm just ignore and move on.
Daryl Hannah is a ghost from the 1600s or something, right? And there's a mural of her downstairs. They explain that she was killed by her husband on their wedding night. He thought that she was cheating on him, and he stabbed her to death.
She just didn't like him that way.
Is she a Plunkett?
I don't know.
Okay, or is Liam Neeson?
I think Liam Neeson might be the Plunkett.
That's okay. So,
there's a murderer in
the family. Let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
So Liam Neeson, a ghost in this movie, an extra horny ghost in this movie, is a family member. Remember that. Let's just keep that detail in mind.
Maybe, if we're correct.
And, okay, well, we could be wrong. We're probably wrong. Let's move on. Daryl Hannah is murdered every single night by the ghost of Daryl Hannah is murdered every single night by the ghost of Liam Neeson. And it seems like she is in like a minute and a half loop. It's not that every night she runs into this room trying to hide and Steve Guttenberg watches the whole scene play out. It's over and over. Like, while Steve Guttenberg is in this room, he watches her get murdered three times.
Yeah, I love that. I think it as a concept alone, not just as a film, that's my favorite justification for what ghosts are. Like, they're snapshots in time of like really extreme trauma that has left an imprint.
And yet she hates the Langoliers.
Shut up, John.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
So I think that's marvelous and I love it. And when Steve Guttenberg gets in the way of
Isn't it just fun to say Guttenberg? Like, who wants to say Jack?
It really is. When he gets in the way of one of these stabbing loops, it breaks Daryl Hannah out of it. It does not break Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
So he continues on, like, mourning his dead wife, but there's nothing
like,
there.
Oh, what have I done?
Yeah, and she's broken out of the loop, and so she has consciousness, and she's like, I love you, Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, nobody's ever saved me before. And so as time goes on, they, you know, strike up a relationship. Steve Guttenberg dies?
So wait, hang on. You kind of missed the most important thing about this haunting is that the painting downstairs has Daryl Hannah and her white mare. And at some point, he goes to see Daryl Hannah, who's like praying at some tree by the pond. The mare leads him there and the mare talks.
Oh, right.
It's a fucking talking horse.
I forgot about this. I was getting popcorn.
It's very important, John.
Okay, so she has to be a family member. She has to be a Plunkett. Liam Neeson married in.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. We have a whole couple swap halfway through the movie.
Yeah, this movie is like a key trade.
Yeah, so Steve Guttenberg and Beverly D'Angelo are the married couple that have come to visit. Steve Guttenberg falls in love with Daryl Hannah, and for some reason, Beverly D'Angelo, who sees Liam Neeson as a ghost full of rage and jealousy and murdering Daryl Hannah, his wife, because he thinks that she's cheating on him. She's like this guy's husband material. So,
you know, she needed an alpha. And
Steve Guttenberg, not
Steve
an alpha.
Was not an alpha.
Yeah, I don't. But this is not a good choice. They completely swap. And that was the thing
that
fucked me up.
They do really grace over the fact that Liam Neeson is a murderer.
Okay. And that's kind of the whole movie, guys. Basically, just it's a romance where they slowly fall in love and Beverly D'Angelo and Steve Guttenberg slowly come to the realization that they shouldn't be together anymore. And then all the while, the other guests of the hotel
are being haunted.
Are being haunted and scared out of their wits.
Yeah. And then none of them can leave because the ghosts are trying to make money, I guess.
Well, I think they all decide to leave because they hate the hotel. And they're like, this isn't what we paid for.
Yeah, but then the ghost wind won't let them.
Then the ghost wind won't let them to prove that the place is really haunted. Because the ghosts don't want to go to Malibu. In fact, they explicitly say that. This is not me editorializing. They go, woof, ugh. No, we do not want to go to California. Ugh. It's pretty good.
So, okay. There is a whole bit, as there always is with a ghost story, about there's this like special rule that can bring a ghost back to life. And of course, it's Halloween in 2 days.
Surprise, surprise. This movie is a Halloween movie.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's All Hallows Eve tomorrow. That really works out.
Steven Guttenberg literally has like, All Hallows Eve. You mean Halloween? Like, that's tomorrow. Like, the most convenient fucking situation.
And so there's...
Yeah, I wheezed. What do you want?
I was like, what was that sound? So, yeah, okay, there is a ritual that needs to be performed,
uh-huh.
Which you know, Steve is coming to the realization that he does love this ghost, yep. even though they've only spent 13 seconds together,
mm-hmm.
but true of.
Mm-hmm.
And so to bring her back, they have to, I don't know if this is correct, but it's what happens, have sex
mm-hmm.
to completion?
I don't get,
on Halloween.
Okay, so there was some sort of thing at some point where they said that if you have sex with a, because on Halloween, the ghost becomes flesh.
So you won't just go through them.
Yeah, oh, which
you
is a whole...
You could actually potentially have sex with
which
them.
Which is a whole other thing, because the ghosts do something called scalping, where the ghost walks through
They're stuck
through
in time
you.
Loops. It's weird that they have their own type of sex.
Yeah, where like they walk through you and then they call that sex, but they refer to it as
Everybody
scalping.
Seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's talking to Beverly D'Angelo like, hey, baby, how about a little scalping? You're like, what?
Well, and at one point, Daryl Hannah does that to Steve Guttenberg, and it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. And it, like, tires her out, and I just don't like it. It's fucking weird.
But we learn from
it's
Grandma.
Ghost lore that it will never become canon.
We learn from Grandma that on Halloween night, the ghosts become real. They become flesh. And if you have sex with a ghost on Halloween night, and
you're tempting the grave or something.
Something like that.
There's some
right?
poem.
There's it's the petite mort, right? Like, they're trying to get to it. But it's something like if you have sex with a ghost but you don't actually love them, you'll die.
Yeah.
And but if you it's true love, I don't think they explain what'll happen because that would just give away the
yeah,
end of the
they,
movie.
If it's true love, ghost subtraction.
But
I
you you would think that so they're making out. Steve Guttenberg and Taylor Hannah are making out and she's like, "Oh, we can't No, we can't do this, Steve.
Steve.
We can't do this, Jack, or whatever, right? We can't. No, it's not. Oh, don't listen to what I'm saying." And then they're having sex, and they're still just like, ooh, we shouldn't do this. No, let's not. Oh, we can't make this mistake. So is the problem that you're, oof, like, it's that you can have sex with a ghost, but you, I don't want to get too crass on this fucking
you
podcast.
You can't petite mort.
You can't petite mort inside the ghost.
Oh my God. You can't fully scalp the ghost.
That's gross.
It's so gnarly.
I think, because here's the fucking best part.
He read that fucking book all day. He should know.
No, he skipped all the stuff that was like, well, it says here I can't have sex with her. So like, obviously that's a lie.
Well, that was the plan the whole time. Like they wined and dined beforehand.
Yeah.
Like they knew they were going to get it on Halloween.
Meanwhile, Beverly D'Angelo is real hot and cold with Liam Neeson. She's like, oh, you're disgusting, you pig. Get away from me.
Well, and you're dead.
And you're dead. And a murderer.
No, the murderer thing doesn't come
up. It doesn't
up.
Bother
doesn't,
her whatsoever.
She doesn't mind.
But every time he disappears, she's like, oh, what a fucking asshole. She's just being...
She's playing hard to get.
Yeah. I get that. But also, he's trying to run her over with a truck. like he's, as a ghost, possessed, takes a bus, the van that they use to take people from the airport to the hotel. And he's trying to run her over. He's like, come here, baby.
Yeah, I'm solidified on my theory that all of these Haunted Mansion movies are Bugs Bunny. And he is very much Pepe Le Pew. He's okay. Pepe Le Pewing Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah, but it kind of seems like she's Pepe Le Pewing him at the same time.
Yeah,
you know?
But she's
not just a cat who accidentally got like a white stripe of paint put on her from a painter on a ladder or something.
It's a complicated relationship.
The best. Okay, so there's so much going on. The only thing I want to talk about is Daryl Hannah and Steve Guttenberg because afterward. She becomes like 200 years old and he can't handle it.
She becomes Grandpa in Texas Chainsaw
yeah,
Massacre.
Yeah, that's exactly what she looks like. And she's like, do you still love me? And he's like, yeah, baby, I'm totally going to call
no,
you.
No, he doesn't.
No,
he doesn't.
True.
She's chasing him around the castle like, do you love me? Kiss me.
He's like, let me just think about it for a minute. I'll be right back. Yeah, it's bad. And then true love is saved because Liam Neeson tricks Beverly D'Angelo into committing suicide.
I don't know if he tricks her.
He totally does. He's like, come here, baby. And he's standing by an open window because I think we've gone past midnight at this point.
Mm.
So he's no longer flesh. Otherwise, maybe there's like a switch he can turn off where she can scalp through him or whatever. And like when she tries to jump at him, she goes out the window and dies. At which point, Daryl Hannah goes back to being young and, you know, 1988 Daryl Hannah and alive.
And
like,
weirdly,
she's taken the place of Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah, like, is she, because she's wearing Beverly D'Angelo's clothes. And she's
like,
in...
do we see Beverly? Like, does, yes, does the world see Beverly
D'Angelo? Like, is she Beverly D'Angelo? Is she just going to assume her identity?
What is it? Death of Me or Dead Like Me? What was the name of that show where you become a Grim Reaper, but the world sees you as a different thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might be like that.
Which is kind of fucking creepy.
Because Beverly D'Angelo's dad is a character in the movie who we never see. So we got to imagine at some point, Steve Guttenberg, not even just the fact that the fucking cops might get involved. Like, at some point, I went away on vacation and my wife died and now I've got a new squeeze. Like, yeah, that's going to go over real well when you get back to America. Interpol's going to hear all about this.
I mean, unless she does just look like Beverly D'Angelo to everyone else.
I mean, that's possible. Beverly D'Angelo, on the other hand, is a ghost, is dead, and is just dancing around the castle.
She's
with
happier
Liam
than we've ever seen her.
Yeah. What is it that she says too? I love you more than death itself, or something stupid like that. Anyway, and it ends with the two of these couples dancing around.
No, death looks good on her.
You know, Peter O'Toole gets to keep the castle. The ghosts go back to bed. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, it's a happy story. And all we had to do was survive through all the weird ghosts.
It's a story, all right.
Why is that the crux of the movie?
I don't know. But like, for all of the special effects, there is some really great work in here. I think the reason we haven't heard of this movie before, and the reason why you're listening to this podcast, if you haven't heard of this movie before, it's probably because it's like an R-rated sex comedy for adults.
Yeah, it's got the tone of a movie for kids, but kids could not watch this.
No, and that's why I don't understand the
I
casting.
I think Jennifer Tilly's boob comes out.
I've never quite understood Steve Guttenberg.
I don't understand him at all.
No, like, okay, so he's in Three Men and a Baby. He was in Short Circuit and Police Academy. All of those movies make sense.
But like, does he play like a beta in all of them?
Kinda. I mean, he's the lead. Like, he's a leading man, but he's like a leading beta, you know? So when I see him in things like Tower of Terror, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, Tower of Terror.
He should be in family movies.
Yeah.
We have literally watched an erotic thriller with Steve Guttenberg, and it's just... And it was like a popular movie at the time. I don't understand it.
I don't want to ever see Steve Guttenberg on top of a woman ever again.
There was a moment where I think people were really into him and really into his type of person. And it's not what you expect now.
He looks like a very fine, nice dad.
I don't know. It's like if Liam Neeson was in the Steve Guttenberg role and somebody else was in the Liam Neeson role. Like, maybe this is a
no, movie Liam movie. Neeson is perfectly cast.
If Gabriel Byrne was in the Steve Guttenberg role, maybe this movie would still be talked about today. Because the special effects are amazing. Like, there's zero reason why this shouldn't be a movie that we all know, other than the fact that it makes zero fucking sense and it's crazy horny.
There's one really great ghost effect that I really want to call out because it was just like a single moment and it was so fucking cool. I can't remember what character it is, but there's like a fish on the wall, you know, like, oh, we caught this fish.
Oh my God.
And it's got like blood dribbling from its mouth. You think the fish is going to like bite this dude's finger.
Yeah.
And instead, a bloody ghost hand comes out of the fish's mouth and grabs their arm.
It's weird to say, there's a lot of good fish work in the movie.
There's a lot of fish stuff.
There's a scene where a fish is whistling and the chef cuts its head off with a meat cleaver and still continues to whistle. But because everybody's so creeped out, they're just like, I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything? No, that's fine. And the fish still continues to like sing a song while they're trying to prep dinner. Yeah, no, there's a ton of fun ghost activity in this movie. In a word, this movie's absurd.
It's such a weird movie. It is. And especially because the ghost stuff doesn't come until like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
For most of it, it's just like a really like slapstick put together. We got to save the hotel.
Yeah. And it's not like a cameo appearance from Peter O'Toole either. He's in this movie and he's given it his all and he's kooky as fuck.
Yeah. There's like drunk work.
Yeah. And best of all, it's on Tubi. You can watch it right now. You can watch it tonight. And I highly suggest.
To be honest, you need the ad breaks.
The ad breaks really help. They don't come in like the best spots ever. They never do. But yeah, you need time to scratch your head over
this
movie.
Yeah, for like the group to ask each other questions.
Damn, what a weird
movie. We had to rewind ghosts talking several times because we just didn't understand what scalping meant. And then we learned.
Yeah, they leave it like it's this big secret. Oh, people can't wait to find out what scalping is. Why couldn't they come up with a better name?
I don't like it. We're going to find out after this that it's like some real thing.
Oh, God. Ugh. I don't like that at all.
Like real ghost terminology.
No, sir, I don't like it. So, Kim, how would you rate High Spirits?
So, I had a lot of fun. So, I really enjoyed this horny ghost comedy. Yeah. A horse talked, and I was really about
horse
it.
Talk.
I love a haunted castle. There
it's
was
got
a
that horse talk bump, is what you're saying?
There was a lot of foot ADR I appreciated.
God damn it.
Love me a castle floor. Wind? Love ghost wind. There was ghost POV with wind and a book moving. It was wonderful. We had that haunted play. I want a vacation here.
Okay, I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 4.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
That's fine. It's on Tubi right now, guys. You got to go check it out. Let us know what you thought of High Spirits. This movie's fucked. Oh, that's gonna do it for us here at Nightmare on Film Street for this week. You know, go back and listen to The Haunted Honeymoon if you didn't listen to part one of this double feature. We've got a shit ton of more kooky recommendations waiting for you in the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
You can also hang out with us in our Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord.
We'll be back again next Thursday, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.